It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A quick heads up here on programming. Join us tonight at 8 for live NPR coverage of the Democratic National Convention from Milwaukee. It's a mix of virtual events and live events underway. We bring you up to speed. We give you a recap tonight through Thursday night starting at 8 here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we're looking at daycare amid the pandemic and how one center is operating and expanding for more school-aged children. Parents and caregivers, do you plan to put your child in daycare during virtual learning days? Have you found another option? What are your plans? It is 800-642-1234. Jessica Shuttle owns Altoona Family Child Care Center in Western Wisconsin, offering care for infants through school-age kids. Jessica, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
All right. So can you introduce us to your child care facility? How is it going during the pandemic?
It has been crazy. We have a facility in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, that is licensed for 99 kids. We start as early as 4 weeks of age and go up to 13 years. Right now, with school hopefully starting soon, everybody has just been trying to figure out what to do with the extra days that their kids won't be in school, if they're going to send their kids to school, where their kids are going to be. And that's kind of how we came up with offering, you know, enrichment activities and virtual learning assistance for these kids, because some parents don't want to send them to school. They want to have them do the virtual option, and they work. So they'll end up having to be at daycare with us, and we have teachers who are prepped and ready to help them.
So how do you do this? How do you spread out children age 4 weeks to 13 years of age and make sure that you're abiding by all the public health best practices?
You know, we do our best to social distance. All of our kids that are over the age of 5 wear masks. Some of the other kids try. The parents try, the teachers try. You know, they really do their best. We do have 9 classrooms, so they're split up pretty evenly to try to keep them away from each other as much as possible. As far as like eating meals, we don't have a centralized lunchroom, so all the children are, you know, in their classrooms, eating their lunch, doing their activities in their classrooms. We've even staggered our outside play times so that the classrooms aren't outside at the same time for the kids to mingle.
So how are you communicating with the local health department, and what happens if there is an exposure or an outbreak?
A lot of our communication comes with when we have questions, you know, we'll call. We get a lot of emails, a lot of updates from DHS, from the CDC, guidelines, just, you know, things that they would like us to try and do to do our best to not have an outbreak. If we do have an outbreak, we have to contact the health department. We have to give them a list of all the families that have or could have been affected by this outbreak. And then it goes as far as quarantining and who needs to quarantine and what rooms need to be shut down and what needs to be deep cleaned. And I feel like we have bought every single gallon of bleach we could find in the last few months.
Have you had your doors open throughout the pandemic, or when did you close down at all?
We did not close down. When the order came through for us to drop our capacity to 50 with only 10 staff, we stayed at 50 with 10 staff the entire time until they told us that we could put it back up to 99.
Have you had to deal with any exposures, any outbreaks?
We did have one staff. Thankfully, they had not been on the premise. Other than that, we have not. Knock on wood that we don't have to.
Do you have a waiting list at all, or what is capacity like right now?
Yes, right now we are at full capacity. We do have a waiting list that goes out about 2 years, especially for the infant. Ratios are smaller for infant kids, so we can take less of children under the age of 2. And that's why we're looking into another facility.
Wait, 2 year waiting list? I mean,
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Basically, you need to plan that you're going to have a baby to get on the list.
How has it that waiting list changed amid the pandemic? Are you finding there is more interest from school-age families who want the wraparound care for the days that it is virtual learning?
Right, yes. There have been a lot of emails, a lot of people reaching out to us looking for that. You know, up here it's mostly Wednesdays. Some kids are going 5 days, some are going four, some are going two, and then they have 3 days of virtual learning. Every single school district seems to be different at the moment. And so it's trying to work around everybody's schedules and see where we can fit everybody and still follow all of the guidelines and max group sizes that we have to follow.
You know, daycare centers are often minimum wage jobs that are not staffed by people who have backgrounds in teaching, who have degrees in teaching. Do you feel like you're asking a lot of your staff to help facilitate instruction for these kids on their virtual days?
I do. A lot of our staff do have degrees, whether it's an associate's or a bachelor's in childcare, in psychology. You know, it's kind of a range. We have a few in social work, a lot in development, communication. But yes, I mean, it is asking a lot, especially for them to be here, you know, working through this pandemic side by side with these kids. You know, you have, how do you teach a one-year-old to stand 6 feet away from somebody? I mean, that's not an option, obviously. And during, you know, the high peaks of COVID, we have been giving wage increases. We've been giving bonuses. We've been doing our best to hang in there with support of our families. Luckily, you know, we were able to get the PPP loan, and that gratefully helped out the facility and keeping the teachers there.
We're talking with Jessica Shuttle, who runs a child care center in Western Wisconsin. We're finding out how her center is operating in the pandemic, taking your questions as well. Families, what does the upcoming school year look like for your child? Are you trying to find and enter a daycare center for wraparound days for the virtual learning? Join in at 800-642-1234 on your plans, on your questions. Jessica, I'm wondering, on those Wednesdays when the Eau Claire Area School District is closed for deep cleaning, I would imagine that families want, you know, to figure out how to find childcare on those days, and that it's really difficult in childcare, though, to offer like a banquet, if you will, of you can pick this day or this day, and mm-hmm. we'll have one here, but maybe not in 2 months or so. That's just not how childcare works. How do you bring more flexibility to the program?
Right. And I mean, we have been doing our best to be flexible. You know, like I said before, we do have ratios that we have to meet. We do have group maxes that we can meet. Our classroom for our school agers is 12 kids that we can have in that classroom. So thankfully, you know, summer was just here. So we do have that open classroom that we usually fill during the year with younger children. And at this point, we're just not going to be able to do that. And we'll be able to enroll 12 kids at this one facility. And maybe somebody will be a Monday, Tuesday, and then somebody will be a Wednesday. Hopefully we can fit all the puzzle pieces together and be as flexible as possible for our families.
It's coming down to the wire. We are just talking with the Eau Claire Area School District Superintendent. Classes start 2 weeks from now, 14 days. Do you feel like you have the pieces in place to be able to offer as much as you can to meet the demand?
No, not at all. I feel like we need a much larger facility, which is why we put an offer to purchase on one, hoping to rush everything through as fast as possible to get it open so that we can help these school agers, help these families. I have a lot of school agers that their parents are scared to send them back to school, which I completely understand. I mean, we don't know. They could go to school for 2 weeks. There could be a huge outbreak, and then school is over. Or it could go and everything will be fine. But I mean, parents are worried. So they're coming to me asking for direction, and I only have so much space that I can fill to help them. And so we're just doing our best to try to figure out what the future is going to hold.
You've been talking about masks. Do you have other personal protection equipment that you've been needing to have at your facility?
Gloves. Gloves is another big one that has been really hard to find. between gloves and masks. We also have hand sanitizer stations that we installed by all the sinks, all the classroom doors, the exit doors. But gloves and masks and shields have been a big part of our daily routines.
When do you use the shields?
Shields are often used when we're serving food to the kids, or, you know, trying to do some facial expressions with them. Because, I mean, we're teaching these kids different life skills as far as, you know, word pronunciation and, you know, all of the shapes and colors and numbers and letters. And with the babies, you're teaching them their, what's the word I'm looking for? Happy, sad, mad, and it's kind of hard to do that through a mask.
How do you tell the kids what this mask is about when they're seeing their, you know, their center put on these masks and face shields? How do you talk with the kids about it?
Well, at first they were scared, not going to lie. The kids were kind of frightened when the teachers came in having to wear masks. But, you know, talking with them, a lot of kids understand, or they make up their own explanation for it. Some of them are great, but I mean, it's just explaining it to them and being open, saying, you know, that Miss Sarah doesn't want to get sick today. And so she's going to wear a mask and she doesn't want you to get sick. So she just has to cover her face, you know, cover her mouth, cover her cough. However, it's easily understood for them.
Jessica Shuttle owns a childcare center in Altoona. She's explaining how her center is trying to minimize risk with the virus while expanding to take care more school-age children. Is your childcare center seeing an influx of school-age children? Does your facility have enough room for kids? Do you work at a daycare center? How is your center preparing to add more space? Is it possible? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jessica Shuttle here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. Let's get back to our conversation with Jessica Shuttle. She opened Altoona Family Childcare Center a little over a decade ago. It's in the western part of our state, and she seeks to expand as families with school-aged children need daycare on days when learning will be virtual. How is your family handling logistics with virtual learning this fall? Have you found care other than at home? Can you afford to send your school-aged children to daycare? Are you worried about the spread of the virus and risks to your child's health? It's 800-642-1234. And Jessica Shuttle stays with us. Let's take a call now. Steve is with us from Sun Prairie this morning. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Yeah, this is the type of thing you just can't make up. So the schools are shutting down or going virtual, whatever you want to define it as, because of COVID. So now the parents who want the schools to be open are now sending their kids to daycare facilities. So we're just taking all the kids and moving into a different building. How is that really keeping anyone safer? So playing with the guest thoughts about her ability to keep things safe, but the school's not.
Steve, thanks for the call. Jessica, what insights do you have there? And especially for essential workers who may not have a choice.
Right. And I mean, this has been brought up multiple times, but our biggest thing is we have a percentage, a very, very small percentage of the amount of children that are usually in a public school. Our capacity is 99 split between 9 rooms. And you're looking at elementary schools that, I mean, some of them have 1,200 kids in them.
Yeah. So what happens then if a school shuts down because of exposure or because of a outbreak? How do you plan to handle that situation if a parent wants to then, you know, still continue having that child go to the daycare center?
Right. And we have to meet certain ratios once again. So, I mean, if we're at capacity, we have to say no. We can only have 12 kids in our school-age classroom. If we have 12 kids, then we have to turn them away.
Do you find that you have enough communication there with the local districts that you're involved with that if a school is finding that there is an exposure, has to shut down, do you know that you'll have that information of a child who is at that school who may be in your daycare?
Not at all. I don't think that there is, they don't let us know anything.
How do you think communication could be improved so that the contact tracing is there and that you have the information that would limit the virus, limit exposure?
More attention to detail. The letting us know, I mean, they should have on record that this child attends a daycare facility, and most schools don't have that. I mean, they might bus them here, but there's nothing on file that says that they're going to our facility.
So what is your biggest challenge right now as you prepare for schools to open and as you prepare to bring in more school-aged children?
Trying to figure out what the future is going to hold. If, like I said, I mean, we're looking at another property, which is a large dollar amount, and seeing if it's something that we actually need to do or not is kind of a gamble either way.
Childcare itself runs on very thin margins. In a pandemic, what is that like? What impact does it have to your bottom line?
Our budget has very much changed. We have changed to increase our supplies as far as cleaning materials go. Hand sanitizer has become a huge part of our daily routines. Paper towels, you know, making sure that everything is compliant as far as keeping the kids separated as much as possible. But yes, I mean, very small funds, trying to keep costs low so parents can still afford it. It's all been a challenge.
Have you been able to take advantage of any federal grants or the federal stimulus?
We were able to get a PPP loan, which really helped, you know, pay the utilities, increase some staff wages, just help out with some of the little things that we had to do. And DHS also had a grant available for us for March, April, and May, I believe it was, that was also very beneficial to the center.
How did you use it?
Most of it went towards payroll. Payroll is at least 75% of our expenses.
When you look at how you approach the fall, what are you going to be able to offer students by way of the virtual setup? Will they be expected to bring their own laptops, for instance?
A lot of schools are supplying their own laptops for the kids, but we will also have computers available. We have Wi-Fi. We have increased our internet connection speed, gotten a new router, doing everything we can to make it as efficient and effective for these kids as possible.
We're talking with Jessica Shuttle, who owns a childcare center in Western Wisconsin, getting her perspective on daycare centers expanding to meet the needs of care, wraparound care when schools are in virtual instruction. Let's bring in Katie now, joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Katie.
Good morning. I'm wondering about funding relating to this. My husband and I are fluent enough where we are able to not live paycheck to paycheck and be able to get our school-age daughter into a daycare should we choose to. But there are a lot of families, especially in the Eau Claire area, who are working poor. And I'm wondering, is there extra funding for parents or families who are working paycheck to paycheck, living paycheck to paycheck, who now have to afford daycare and the costs associated with daycare?
Katie, thank you for that question. Jessica, what happens with those families?
Right. And I mean, like, we're trying to keep our costs as low as possible for these school-agers and their families. I also know that DHS sent out a memo 2 days ago stating that anybody who receives state help for their families could be eligible to get daycare assistance full-time for their school-agers to go to daycare.
What about the fees involved with daycare? There's usually an application fee. There you have to, you know, make sure that you're in a set amount of weeks or months before you can unenroll. How have you negotiated that in these uncertain times?
We have family fees. So our families only have to pay one $75 enrollment fee, and that is for the entire family. It's not per child. It's not per it's not per year. It's a one-time fee of $75, pays for all their materials basically to get them started. And then we don't have a minimum. So basically what they do is they say 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5 days, They give it to our director, and that's what we put them on the schedule for. We have become very, very flexible with our families to help them with that issue.
So what happens if a family unenrolls? Is there any way that they could get their spot back if their situation changes?
Right. And how we do it is they have to give 2 weeks notice, of course, so that we can prepare. But if we fill their spot during the time that they're gone, then they don't have to pay any fees to hold it and are able to come back once they need care again.
Give us a sense of the cost of a week of daycare, you know, between infant, toddler, the younger years.
All right. So basically we do it by days per week and by age. So if you're looking for full-time care for a child under the age of two, 5 days would be $205 a week. And then we go down from there. So 4 days, we charge $185. 3 days, we charge $165. 2 days, $125. And then 1 day is $75.
What would it cost for school-aged children then if they are coming for those Wednesdays or one, maybe 1 to 2 days a week?
Yep. So 1 day for a child age 6 to 12 is $50. 2 days would be $75. 3 days would be $115. 4 days would be $145. And 5 days would be $165.
Well, Jessica, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Jessica Shuttle owns Altoona Family Child Care Center in Western Wisconsin. Just ahead, we discuss the QAnon conspiracy theory, how it's drifted into mainstream politics. What questions do you have about QAnon? Do you understand it? It's 800-642-1234 to join in. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.